Accession number 26864, Reel 3.
Arthur Caney, Reel 3. So you were promoted to sergeant, is that right?
Yes. But before that, I was sent on a course as a range fan, to range fan. So I went to Warminster. And very interesting, because it's the Mortimer term I read. So when I came back, I found we had a lot of spare time at night, so I went to fortunately, Education Corps in Catterick had evening classes.
So you moved from Aldershot to Catterick, did you?
Aren't we on Catterick now?
No, I thought when we came back from Palestine, we went to
Aldershot. No, sorry. We left Aldershot.
Right.
For Palestine.
Yes.
When we came from Palestine, we had a short time at Aldershot, then we went to Catterick.
Right.
Haven't I not mentioned Catterick?
No, that's all right.
Well, I'm dreaming. That. Catterick is the place we went to
right.
very quick in 1938.
Yeah, okay.
That's a very the time when I've learnt a lot.
So, Catterick, I mean, it's a huge camp, isn't it?
How oh, yes.
Was it very different to Aldershot in atmosphere?
No, roughly the same.
Right.
We had the moors very close where we could training. Mm-hmm. No, it was except it was so cold. And we had no hot water. In the wash rooms, we had the basins, we had no hot water. So it was. I had cold shaving until after the war. I never had hot water. I could have had it later on. But because we were so used to this, and it was freezing cold, just imagine going on wherever you are, cold water, ice cold water, and heating in the barracks was a round stove, and we didn't have it on all the time. It was only the evenings, and all the cutting was a bit hard. Yeah, cold, hard work.
And there was an education corps there that you got involved with, didn't
well,
you?
Well, they had a place for teaching. Now, I thought to myself, I was an individualist, so I did things on my own. And a lot of my friends, the reserves came back in. There were some very good people amongst the reserves. They assembled in Catterick. And I was training the reserves. And amongst some very good men.
So these were all men who'd been regulars.
Yes.
Who would come back. Yeah.
So I would say to them, they didn't want me to take a stripe. Nobody, somehow or other, they said, well, we just keep together. I couldn't see that. So that's why I got my in Aldershot. They didn't want me to go on again. But I could see that was wrong. So at night, probably three times a night, I would go to the Education Corps. Well, therefore, I passed first class sort of education, but I learnt many other things.
Yeah. What was the Education Corps like? What did they offer and what were the people like?
Well, they were very good, yes. In those days, I'll tell you a story about it later on, but in those days they were very good.
They
were only Lance Corporals, Lance Corporals and so on, but they were skilled, at least they taught us what I wanted to know.
And what sort of things were they teaching you?
Well, it was only geography, mathematics, English, what's it, map reading,
right.
Which we learned in any case. But this was a higher grade. Mm. Normally, map reading, half the troops read it. You didn't have enough of it. And it was wonderful to be able to, because I was an instructor, and to be able to. But they couldn't teach me much on that, but it was part of the syllabus for the first class of education.
Right. So you wanted to be a sergeant now, and you were determined to invest in your career, as it were?
Well, it was normal, really. I mean, two of us went in to be sergeants together. One was senior to me because he joined the army before me. Throughout my career, we went through different jobs. Sometimes I was in front of him promoted, and another time in front of me. All very interesting. But in those days, it was according to your rank, according to the time you joined up, and the time you were promoted. If you were promoted corporal at a certain time, you became sergeant according to the sequence.
Right. Mm. So how long were you at Catterick and doing this education and so on? Quite a while.
Well, we went from Catterick to France.
Right. And that was in 1940.
Oh, but in Catterick, that's the time when I used to do, as I told you, running. So we had a team used to run against the civilians. And the bus would turn up, we'd go off running. So we'd go off to, in the country like Newcastle and run that area. And when we got there, we were running about 6 miles or something. They didn't tell us that you didn't have to, if you were in the first six, the next time you ran against them, you would... They gave you a minute, so you had to wait a minute before you started. I didn't know that. So we went there, you see, of course, we came in the first one, two, three, because nobody else was trying. Next time we went, we had a minute to make up. There was no fun in that. I mean, there's no sport in that, was it, really? So we didn't do that often. But one Easter time, Easter 1938, we were running, a team of six of us, we were running at the local Richmond, at which they had the Easter sports. So we were running a team of, and I was looking around there on the side, and I met a friend of mine talking to two girls, you see. So we had a chat, the usual story. Anyhow, I said, well, I'll see you in a minute after the race, you see. So I thought we were kidding. So we ran in this race, and we came second as a team. So when we got our prizes, well, that was quite, in those, when you think, we would choose what you came to, as you came in. One chap had a trouser press. I had an old-fashioned biscuit pile, you know, and things like that. All good fun. So I met the girl afterwards, and from then on, I used to meet her regularly. And I came back from France in 1940. We were married. Yeah, 1940. We're in Catterick now.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got your sergeant stripes in Catterick.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we go into the sergeant's mess. So he was senior to me. It didn't make any difference then. But it wasn't anything as hard as I thought. And prior to that, of course, being a corporal there, I was doing the accounts for the sergeant's mess. The sergeant's accounts. Mm-hmm. Were run by our sergeant at that time. So somehow or other, he couldn't cope with them. But because I'm pretty good at figures, as I told you before, I'd been learning this, I had all the accounts. And that really, I suppose, made it easier for me to go into the mess. And I was not drinking. I didn't drink beer only shandy, until I was about 26. Because of sport. In those days, anyone doing sport, we did it conscientiously. For our own benefit. I mean, these days I go without beer occasionally because I'm getting too fat, but in those days it was for the sport. Because we had good athletic teams. Yeah, our battalion were very good.
Yeah.
We were second in the army in an Aldershot previously, only because we should have been first. At the last race, the four times 110, they were... The last man took the baton over, but they said he stepped over the line. So he was disqualified and became second instead of first. And never in the history of a unit, or very rarely in the history of a unit, can you win a thing like the Army Championship twice.
So you were doing the sergeant's mess accounts. Was that a difficult job?
No, I was just running over it for him. He would bring to me. To check certain things because you couldn't get them to balance. But what I meant was that really gave me, when I went into the mess, it was straightforward. I mean, it was not like got used to it very quickly.
Yeah.
And then I had the responsibility as a son of training, or not training, the reservists, they call it. So I had a group to train.
So these had all been regular soldiers. What
came their, back in, yeah.
Yeah. What was their attitude to being called back?
Well, inevitable it was. They had the feeling, you know, there we are, we're soldiers, and we're back, and the inkling was that there would be a war, so what they would have come in any case. But it was rather unfortunate, from looking back, I was pretty junior. They were senior. Had they stayed in the army, they would have been far senior to me. So I was a young sergeant, training these chaps who I knew before, because before they went out. And I think, I mean, it's a pity for them that they didn't have the promotion that they were capable of being, really.
Did it make it difficult for you as a new sergeant to train them, or did you...
Well, in the first couple of few days, but then if you know your job, it doesn't matter. And they were good. They were... Well, I'd been with them before, sports-wise, in a few years before, and it all helped. Yes. Though I was not a footballer or anything. Had I been a footballer, I'd be better off with them. But no, we soon got on.
So you were training reservists, mm-hmm. and the war knew was coming. Now everybody
yes.
knew it was coming.
Yeah.
How soon did you get moved on and get involved in the war? Do you remember where you were when...
Yes, we were in Katwijk, and then we had to go to overseas. Mm-hmm. So we were in 5th Division. Now, there's a book up there. 5th Division is a wonderful division when you think of... I'll tell you a story about that. We were called the D-Day Dodgers after that. That's another story. That's not quite it.
So, when war broke out, where were you? Did you hear the announcement on the Sunday morning?
You did, yes. We heard, Churchill, Winston Churchill.
What were your
feelings? No, it wasn't. It was old, what's his name? No,
Chamberlain.
Well, we were a bit ashamed, imagine, weren't we? Mm. We had 3 battalions in a brigade in Katwijk. Of which were the Inniskilling Fusiliers, Cameron Highlanders, and the Wiltshire Regiment. Now, we stayed together for a long, long time. So we went to France together as a brigade.
Right. So you went to France from Katwijk.
Yes.
And when was that? Do you remember?
What's the early on? Exactly. I don't know what they said without looking up.
Yeah. Within
a few weeks. Yeah.
39, right.
Okay. Oh, yeah, very early.
Where did you leave from? You went from Katwijk to a port, did you?
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. I'm not sure. Where was Southampton? Uh-huh. We went across to Nantes, a place called Nantes.
Right.
It must have been Southampton, because that's the area. Mm. And we were on static duties there.
What was it like? I mean, what was the atmosphere like? I mean,
in France.
Yes. Were the French pleased to have you?
Oh, they were. Oh, yes. Yes. They were very... Yeah. But this is the first... This is the start. But I was sent as a sergeant to the docks. And I was in charge of 600 strangers, men. And they were the people... They were dressed in corduroy trousers and so on. They were formed from... conscientious objectors.
Was this in France?
Sorry, yes, at Nantes, at the dock.
Right.
Early in the morning, I'm sent there on my own to unload a ship with vehicles. And there are 600 men, conscientious objectors, for me to control. Now, how can you control 600? They were all over the place, dodging here, but amongst them, of course, there were some group people I could grasp to get together to unload these vehicles with the cranes, which the French were. Now, they were not so very... The men there were a bit red, I think. They were not the people on the crane drivers. At least the ones I saw. And I caught one man dropping the vehicle on his crane, bumping it. So I had to threaten him with a rifle and stopped it. But I then still had to unload these vehicles. Now, can you visualise a ship full of vehicles and 600 men, you've never met before? To do it properly was impossible, so I had to do the best I could. But we did, we unloaded it, and amongst out of the 600, I must have got 120 who were good men to do the job.
These were Frenchmen, were they?
No, English conscientious. But they were all, fortunately, they were all dressed properly. You could see corduroy breeches and stockings, so you can see straight away they're not British fighting troops.
Did you think of the conscientious objectors? Did you disapprove of their stance?
Well, of course. Yeah. Then later I found that someone did a good job. I mean, when you think we didn't ever meet them, when they can go out and do some of the stretcher there and stuff, it's a different story. But in the early days, we said, crumbs, this is wrong. On the other hand, I got them to do what I wanted to do, which is out of 600. It's not bad.
What sort of vehicles were you unloading?
Well, there were 3-ton vehicles, 1-ton vehicles, water-to-water vehicles, all infantry type of vehicles.
So this is all the stuff for the British Expeditionary
Yes,
course.
Yes. Yeah. But the point is, you go there one day, then they go back a week later, and somebody went, it was a bit... They shouldn't have sent... I mean, one sergeant in charge of six, they should have said, you have a vehicle to unload, how many men you want to do it? And I, even with 600, I would have taken 5 or 6 corporals or another sergeant with me to do it. But just on my own, we did some funny jobs. I was sent on brothel picket once.
Brothel picket? Tell me what that is.
Well, I better... Well, you go down there and turn... In France, they had brothels. Legally. Well, we as French, as English, were not allowed to... But somehow they had an arrangement by which troops would go there officially between the hours of 6 and 8 in Nantes. And I was detailed occasionally. I'd go and turn them out. Do you know, it was run so well. There was no drink involved, which is the thing. But it was so run so well, I look back and I think to myself, why don't they do it in this country?
And what would you do? You'd go down and talk to the madame and say it's time they came out? Or
well, I'd go down at 6 o'clock to make open it up, and then I'd be about, not around the streets, if any trouble... I'd be called, but then go back and turn them out, and it was all straightforward. Bit of grumbling from them, but discipline was good in those days. In Nantes, they would take the MPs were on duty, but they would have from each regiment, say 5 or 6 of our people, and we all, it was always reservists would go because they were experienced. They became policemen out. So when they walked around the town, we were not seeing the CMP so much as we were seeing our own man, regimental man, with him. Stopped trouble straight away. So we didn't have any trouble like that, or at least none that I'm aware of.
What was the camp like at Nantes? Was that a tented camp? Or?
No, we were in a garage and various places like that around. Not very comfortable, no. Concrete floors, just imagine. Pretty quiet, grim.
So you were there to protect France from possible invasion by Germany, or was
yeah,
that not,
this is
not
what
clear
it's called.
Then?
Oh yes, the French had the Maginot Line. Some of our odd people from each regiment, or some of the regiments, went to join with the French at the Maginot Line. That was the start.
Yeah.
But we were there waiting. We were digging in and making trenches and all sorts of places if they came through.
How well equipped were you?
Oh dear, not very well at all.
Were you aware of that then?
No, it's only when you started fighting. Well, I was in the mortar battalion, as I told you, and we had our ammunition, but we had an anti-tank rifle with us. It was a new weapon, supposed to be good. And I think we had 5 rounds. No. And each man had a rifle. There were very few, and we had Thompson submachine guns, which were so heavy to carry around, and there were not many of those. So looking back, through the battles, we could see how little we had, especially when we saw the Germans with so many automatic weapons in their possession. I mean, if we'd had their weapons, we would have been much better off.
So you stayed in Nantes, did you, for...
Oh, then we moved to Armentier.
Right.
Mademoiselle from... Yeah, we had some... We had our Christmas there.
Did you?
Oh, yes.
What was that like? Because, I mean, war was looming. Was it just...
It was a phony war, and a code and all that. We all thought we were wasting our time. We would just keep on training. Fair enough. And we were met the French people and that. We were all very happy there. We had our own little... pubs to go to, and we privately had private accommodation. No, it was very friendly. We were all very looked after very well. Yes, Christmas time.
And
at Armentiers.
What did you get provided for you at Christmas?
We got looked after there. We had, yeah. In those, always the sergeants and the officers would look after the troops, their meal, on the Sunday meal, as you know. And that was all good fun.
Yeah. Who was your commanding officer then?
Yeah, I remember him well. He had to leave us later because he was too old to go into action. Why they sent him out there in the first place, on Oliphant, his name was. Mm-hmm. And he came back and reading up the history of the Wiltshire Regiment, I read another. He became a CO of prisoner of war camp in Devizes.
So that Christmas 1939, is passed.
Yeah. Oh, icy cold.
What did you hear then? I mean, what happened after that?
Well, we moved. We moved. I had to go on the advance party to a place called Linsales.
Linsales.
Mm-hmm. Where we had a very good 2IC with us. He was in the First World War, and I remember he used to walk around. All the kids would follow behind him because he was giving sweets out to them. Now, you can tell the feeling in that time. Anyway, when I read the First of All, I met the assistant to the mayor's secretary. So I went around with him. We were sorting out the accommodation for the troops to come in. And we knew certain... We had guards here, we had a schoolhouse, whatever accommodation was available. All simple. We go and mark it up so that... which platoon would go everywhere, and it was very interesting. So when they all settled in, they all had their little, we had a mess in a pub and a staminae, and all ran very well, a sergeant's mess, and we used their place lunchtime. We'd go for a drink, you see, and we all regular tables. I'll never forget once we were drinking, I forget what it's called now, that liquid changes colour, the drink, when you...
Pernod?
That's right. So the first couple of times we were drinking these, the French would be looking over, par bons, pour ça d'anglais. They're very friendly. So we stopped drinking that. But we were very comfortable.
Yeah.
We had our own little kitchen and everything there. No, that was a time when we were... Well, many people go back. I went back there later on during the war. And friends got married there. They have wives there. Well, had wives there.
Yeah.
So you can tell we settled in very well.
Yes. Yeah. And how long were you there for?
Well, I don't know. Until the 10th of May, 1940. Just a minute. That's on in cells. We moved up from there. Oh, we had to march from there. I forget where now. On a winter's night... And the snow was around, and we had to put sandbags on our boots because hobnail boots, you know, our boots were things with studs in.
And you'd had an order to march?
Yeah, it was pretty grim, that long march, yes.
Right. And where was that to?
I forget now where we went to. Mm. I forget, I'm just thinking back. I think it was on the start. We're talking about 39, we're coming up to 40, just gone 40. 39 January. I'm sorry, gone off.
Yeah, that's right. So tell me what that march was like. Did you know why you were being moved? We knew we were going forward, yes.
Right. But then we got into, vehicles picked us up. Then we went into Belgium. We were talking about the 10th of May now.
Right.
We moved into Belgium. That's the start of the proper fighting.
Yes, yeah, right. So what did you know about what had happened or where the Germans were? Did you know anything about that? Or had you heard, or were you in the dark?
At that stage, we knew the Germans were going against the Germans. No, we didn't know. You see, don't forget, we're on a sergeant level. We haven't really got the layout of the country. Mm. It's only now afterwards I can look at the map and study it and see what we were doing. In those days, we didn't.
No.
So in the vehicles, away we go, 10th of May, through into Belgium.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what sort of place did you go to?
Well, there was no fight. The early days, we had some rough times there. I haven't got the right sequence. I've got it all there, and I was looking at it the other day. I should have looked it up. Yes, we had some rough times.
Can you tell me?
I lost a lot of men.
Did you? Where did you first engage the enemy?
Well, the dates and times I wouldn't like to say, but what sticks in my mind is the Escarpe. On the Escarpe Canal. But before that, we had some tricky ones, and the Escarpe Canal was an interesting one. Because we lost a lot of our men. And I remember then, lovely weather it was, Lord Arundel, he was captured then, but he was captured because, not that we saw this, it was too far away, but from the companies were split up quite a lot. But you still marched around whether you got captured. Wonderful influence, the officers then. I can see from what I read that they're much better than influence than in 1914-18. Yeah. All of our officers looked after us. We were looked after so much well that in one case, I think later on, I had to go round, had an order to go round and to each man, not on my own position because there was nobody else close, the signalers. I had to say, we stay here the last man the last round. Now, looking back, that's tricky. That was normal. But when it was we were pulled back. A few days later, it's the same. We were pulled back. Another day, so that shows the manner in which the officers were considering us. Years ago, I should have thought from 1948 that we'd been left there. But all the time, that was so wonderful when I look back on it. But I never forget when I said to one man the last time, he looked at me and he raised his eyebrows like that, and I thought, yeah, that's what it is. Just imagine. Those chaps would have stayed there last man, last round. But the Escarpe Canal, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Going forward, we had two 1,500-weight tracks with a mortar in each. That was for one gun sec and one another one. Yeah. On the way, we lost the whole lot over the side, went over in the ditch. So we lost that. So when we arrived there, we had one mortar platoon. Now, we were firing the mortars. Somebody was in trouble, had to put a smoke screen down to let the company pull back.
What sort of position were you in, and where were the enemies?
Well, this particular one, I was in a forward position where I could see them coming down the forward slope. Right. And our own artillery were firing on them. They must have used very big shells, because as they came down, the Germans, as soon as the shell exploded, they were in that shell hole, and we couldn't see them. But there's a big valley in between, and a river, the Scarpe, of which our companies were still fighting. So I was about to put a mortar shell over, and we were told to pull back. And because we had to use the ammunition for another place, possibly, because we had so little ammunition left. But they were pretty trained, and our artillery were so good. And as they were walking down, coming down the slope, there were not many. I couldn't see any fire from our people. They must have been out of sight. So I shot it. An officer was walking down, armband on, looking back now, must have been the Nazi on the armband. And they shot at him, long distance, it was a bit too far, but I had to do something. At least it was close enough to get him under cover. But 5 minutes later, I had the order to withdraw. So withdraw, drew, and then the order came, because we were surrounded, I think, the order came every man for himself, which is pretty tricky. But we knew we were arranged, because of that, we arranged to assemble a few miles down the road, right, which we did at night.
I'll stop you just there for a second. Arthur Caney, end of reel 3. Arthur Caney...